A study out last week from the Employment Benefit Research Institute finds that a third of American workers have saved only about $1,000 toward their retirement.
Our guest economist will help us figure out why that is and what it means for our economy. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Do you feel prepared for retirement? Are you struggling to save enough? And if you are in your 20s or your 30s, are you able to set a little money aside for the golden years? Call 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Monique Morrissey joins us now. She's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Monique, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So in that survey, a third of Americans with only about $1,000 set aside for retirement. Does a number like that surprise you?
Actually, it doesn't surprise me. This has been well known by economists who work on retirement for a while. It depends on what survey you look at exactly what numbers you get, but most people will find that essentially half of all households have virtually nothing in retirement accounts, and they have a little bit saved in other forms. For example, they have some home equity, but the typical American household really has nothing. And what's more alarming to me, actually, is the fact that even among older households, the amounts are minuscule. So for all intents and purposes, for the majority of Americans, what we think of as the private sector retirement savings and 401ks and that kind of thing is meaningless for the typical household.
Is it as simple as some people have some kind of workplace retirement plan, most likely a 401k, and some people don't, and that's the difference?
Well, that is part of the problem. And this is actually something that's been a problem for forever, but it's just gotten worse. Even at the heyday of traditional pensions, which is something, you know, back in the 70s, a typical person who was covered at work had a more secure defined benefit pension. Even in those days, it was about 45% of the private sector workforce was covered. Now, the sort of people's image of what happened in those days was that the typical worker was male, and then they might be married, and then they had spousal coverage. And so if you took households as a whole, I mean, you did a little bit better than that 45%. Also, public sector workers are more likely to be covered. But nonetheless, it's always been something where about half of the workforce was covered. What has changed in the last 30 years is that the workers that are covered are no longer covered by traditional secure pensions, but they're covered by what I think of as a do-it-yourself retirement plan, which is a 401k. And really what's happening is that people are just really not managing to accumulate much in those plans, in those savings accounts.
Why is that? I mean, you wrote somewhere, I think, that there was a revolution going from pensions to 401ks. Why are people worse off under the 401k system than they would have been under pensions?
Well, first of all, what's interesting is if you look at the overall amounts that are being saved in tax-preferred accounts or savings, so in other words, the amounts that are being set aside supposedly towards retirement, they haven't declined relative to income. What's happening is it's become vastly more unequal. It's also become – the system has also become much riskier for workers. So whereas when in the old days, there was not much difference. Workers who were covered with pensions – usually replaced a similar part of their income when they retired. I mean, it's not that high-income workers didn't get a bigger pension, but relative to their earnings, it wasn't necessarily that much bigger. And there weren't really big differences between black and white workers, so there wasn't any great inequality. And what we've seen, and this is reflecting and actually magnifying what we see in the labor market as a whole, is that we've seen dramatic differences between people in the top quintile, and especially the top 1%, but actually the top 20% of households and everybody else. So it's not that there's not a bunch of money being socked away in these accounts, but for the typical household, it's not enough to make any difference. My favorite statistic, and it's a depressing one, is that even for households approaching retirement, so age 55 to 64, you have 40% have nothing saved in a retirement account, and then you have another 10% saving who have about $12,000, which is really not anything, really. And this is people approaching retirement. And then, you know, if you look at the top 20%, they have significant amount of money. So really we've seen this dramatic increase in inequality. And what's more, people are also facing a lot more risk. Even those who have something set aside, the amounts that they have saved or what they can look forward to in retirement is a lot more insecure.
And we saw in 2008 with the economic crisis, a lot of people who had calculated their retirement date based on a 401k, other things that had stocks in it, found themselves having to delay that retirement as the market dropped, right?
Yes, exactly. I know it was calamitous. In fact, until that happened, most people thought the baby boomers were doing okay, not because they weren't affected by some of the changes in the retirement landscape. In addition to the shift from secure pensions to 401k plans, the other thing we've seen that happened in the last 30 years has been a gradual cut in Social Security benefits. A lot of people are not aware of that, but benefits have been cut by about a quarter since 1983, mostly in the form of an increase in the retirement age, which is a bit of a misnomer. Economists think of it as simply as a cut in the benefit. But in any case, this is taking place gradually. Despite that, the baby boomers, a lot of them were covered by pensions at some point in their working lives. They also saw the run-ups in housing markets and stock markets, and people thought they were doing okay, not great, but okay. And then then there was a 2008 downturn, and it sort of laid bare how poorly even the baby boomers were doing. And just generations after the baby boomers are projected to do much worse. So the baby boomers were sort of the peak, and they weren't doing very well. And then everything since then is for younger generations is even worse.
Then as we're saving less, we're good news, living longer. Bad news, have to pay to live longer with less money.
Yes, no. And that's actually one of the things that's interesting. It's a good news, bad news story, as you point out. It's good that we're living longer. People are also working longer. We have a tendency to beat up on ourselves in this country, I think, and think, oh, everybody's lazy and shiftless. But really, if you're a retirement economist, what you can't help noticing is that there's been this dramatic increase in how long and how much people work. So there was also you start off with a big increase in the women's labor force participation, and then also in labor force participation of older workers. So we're actually working a lot more than we used to before we retire. And, you know, both trends should help us in retirement. Women used to have to rely typically, the typical work trajectory for women was they were in and out of the workforce as they raised kids, and they had to rely heavily on their husband's benefits for retirement, and that didn't necessarily help them if they, weren't married or if they got divorced. But nonetheless, as women have started working more and working longer, especially mothers, that's helped a little bit. And then also, basically, people are not retiring. The labor force participation rate of 65 and over group is higher than it has been in half a century. And that's about as far as you can go, in terms of statistics, which is really pretty striking.
Let's go to our callers now at 608. No, what am I talking about? What's our number? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We've got Melissa on the line in Madison. Melissa, hi there.
Hi, yeah, thank you for taking my call. It's just very interesting listening to the program. I'm 28 years old. I basically live paycheck to paycheck, but one thing that my parents and my grandparents instilled in me very young was the importance of saving for retirement. I do want to retire, and I want to enjoy that time of my life. So while I don't have a lot of extra spending money, I know that there is money being put away in my 401k, and I don't even see it. I don't pay attention to it. And a lot of my other friends don't do it. And to me, especially if you have a program where employer matches, that's free money. So I'm 28 years old. I've been in my current job for 7 years, and I have about $20,000 there. And I pretend that the money is not there, and I look forward to using it and not working forever. And I always try to stress that with my friends, and I wish more people my age would see that.
Melissa, thanks a lot for the call. Monique, do you think that's a fairly unique story?
It's not unique, but it is unusual, and I want to commend Melissa for saving. And she's right. I mean, not only the earlier you save, the better, because, people talk about how your earnings accumulate, but also, weirdly, we have a very strange system for subsidizing retirement that depends on the earnings on your investments. And the earlier you put money away, the more you get a tax benefit. Also, you get the employer match if your employer provides a match. That said, I don't like to point to other people. I mean, I don't know about Melissa's other friends, but there are a lot of young people who are unemployed or barely employed, and also many whom have student debts or other debts. And it's really important people pay off their debts before. I mean, it's good to save, but it's understandable that a lot of people are not saving. And in general, that's also a big problem that we've seen. It's not just for the youngest, for the millennials, but is that what's happened in the same time that we've seen a big increase in inequality overall in the labor market and in retirement, what happened to the typical household and the typical worker is that basically wages have stagnated. And for the younger workers, because of the Great Recession, a lot of them have had trouble entering into the workforce or getting good, decent jobs where you can set some money aside. But even before that happened, it's one of the things that happened is, you know, previous generations until, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, you know, people sort of counted on earning a little bit more and setting aside the difference. And when people stopped, you know, the typical worker stopped making more, they actually wages stagnated for half of the workforce. It got harder and harder to set anything aside. So it's not that unusual. And it's that, and also, you know, student debt is a big problem.
We're talking to Monique Morrissey of the Economic Policy Institute about retirement insecurity in the United States, inspired in part by a new study finding that one in three American workers have only about $1,000 saved up for retirement.
You can join the show. Do you have a 401k plan at your work, or did you have a pension? Do you wish you had something like that? And what's stopping you from saving for retirement? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation with economist Monique Morrissey about retirement after a recent study found many Americans aren't saving much for life after work.
You can join in. Are you in that boat? Why don't you or why can't you set aside money for retirement? Are you worried? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go right back to our callers now with Sue in Superior. Sue, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm in my late 30s. My husband's in his early 40s. And I ended up cashing in my retirement because of car issues and needing just house repairs, different things like that. And it, I guess every time I end up saving money, it ends up going towards some kind of big problem that arises in life. And
all right, Sue. And that's probably not a unique situation. Again, Monique, a lot of people dealing with debt, and that may take priority over retirement savings.
Yes, no, absolutely. And, you know, it's fairly typical of retirement experts to tisk about that, you know, oh, you shouldn't touch it, you should never touch it. But it's not really realistic. If people are hit with big medical expenses, loss of a job, things like that, and also what happens is if people already owe money, it's better, you know, you're better off paying off your credit card first. You know, you don't want to keep a credit card account balance. You can borrow from many 401k accounts at a better rate than what you're paying for your credit card. All of these things, I mean, again, not ideal, but realistic for many people and very common. And what is a mistake, though, I would say, is just to casually cash out what you've saved up when you switch jobs. That happens too often and for the wrong reasons. Like, it's one thing to do it if you really, really need it and you have few options. It's another thing, a lot of people, when they switch jobs, they sort of just take advantage of it. They think, oh, well, I got $10,000 or $20,000. It's not really much, so I might as well just cash it out. Now, that's a mistake because that $10,000 or $20,000, if you're young enough, will accumulate to something, you know, something meaningful when you retire, and you don't want to just keep tapping it casually.
Sue, thanks for the call and good luck to you. We'll go to Nick in Milwaukee now. Nick, hi.
Hi. I'm 29 years old. I was considering going the IRA Roth route, but just recently I read an article in the AARP about the MyRA that the Obama administration is starting later this year. I was wondering if you had any more information about that.
Thanks for the call, Monique. We don't need to go too far to financial counseling here, but are you familiar with the MyRA concept?
Yes, the MyRA is it's a good sort of starter plan. What it does is it invests your money in a fund of government bonds, and so therefore it's very safe. It's quite conservative, and it also I've had some issues with it because once your account reaches $15,000, then it rolls over into an IRA, and so I have also issues with IRAs. A lot of IRAs are high fee, and a lot of the investments are not very appropriate. So you can kind of go from being ultra-conservative and being thrown into something that may actually be the opposite of ultra-conservative, but quite expensive and risky if you're not careful. Either way, if you're looking at an IRA or a MIRA that will end up being rolled over to an IRA, you should look very carefully at fees. A lot of people think, oh, well, the fees don't matter that much. They seem very small. It's often, you know, the fees that you're paying are a little bit hidden, and they might look like, if you're looking at comparing mutual funds, you know, it might look like a few, like 75 basis points or something, which is 0.75 percentage points. It doesn't look like very much, but that can eat away at what you save a lot over time. So I encourage everybody to scrutinize what they have, and not just in an IRA, but in a 401k, and try to base their investment decisions a lot on the fees that they're paying, and also balancing things, not having, you know, not a lot of individual savers tend to have either ultra-conservative or ultra-risky portfolios, and it's better to be somewhere, balance it more evenly between bonds and stocks, for example. But mainly, if you have access to passive investments like index funds that are very low cost, look carefully at those. I'm not an investment advisor, but I think that's pretty standard advice. you can't go that far wrong doing that.
Well, that reminds me, a lot of the commentary when a study comes along that says we're not saving enough for retirement is along the personal finance lines. We're improvident. We're not planning for the future. It's an individual problem. Do you think we focus too much on that and not enough on some of the more baseline structural issues?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. 401ks are an accident of history. They were created in 1980 by a benefit consultant who was working on deferred compensation for bankers. This was not designed for regular workers. And if that sounds condescending, I don't mean it to you, because I'm an economist who focuses on retirement, and I do not follow, I don't follow my own advice. I mean, I'm not terrible, but I don't do what you're supposed to do, which is rebalance. And I don't have, I actually literally split 50-50 bond and stocks, which is, again, not too smart, not the worst, but not too smart. If even people I don't know how to look up some of the buried fees that, that are very, very hard to find. It was something that was really not designed for workers. It was designed for people who were going to get something on top of a traditional pension, that they could play around with, extra, like a bonus, not what somebody should retire on. And I think that it pains me when a lot of times the conversation is about how do we get people to save more and how do we get people to be more financially literate, but I just don't think we're ever going to get a situation where the typical person wants to be their own financial advisor. What we need to do is get a situation where people, even with human people, real human beings, aren't paying high fees that they can't see, aren't investing very riskily or extremely conservatively because they just don't know any better. Where we should have default investments. In fact, ideally, people shouldn't have to make investment choices at all. That are appropriate, and that we should really, do something about the fact that a lot of the fees are inappropriately high. So I think that the system is really not set up for people. In addition to that, the system is geared to do pretty well by high income people who can take advantage of employer matches, who take better advantage of the tax subsidy. If you are a low earner, you actually get little or no tax benefit from saving in these things. I mean, it's really upside down. It works, very well for the top 20% who want to do this, but it doesn't work well at all for the middle class and for low income people. So I don't think we should be blaming the victims here.
Go back to the phones now with Kurt in Island Lake. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I'm going to be 65 this year, and I retired at 62 and a half, and my spouse is looking at retirement maybe this year or next year. And I sit back and I look, we were married, we have three children. They're all working adults. And I look back on the decisions that we had to make early on in the process of raising three children. The first car we bought certainly wasn't new. The first house was a fixer-upper. And I look at the pressure that is on the people today with their student loans and the commitments that they make. And we tried to emphasize to our children that, as this lady was saying, you know, you start early and you build. My concern is, and I think a lot of people of my generation turn around and look back at some of the youth today and say, they want it all now. Where we have a tendency to look back at ourselves and say, we earned it along the way. And along with that was a lot of sacrifices, not just raising three kids. I am concerned about one statistic that I heard, and perhaps the lady can verify this. I heard that between 55 and 60-year-old people, the average amount of money saved for retirement is only about $18,000.
Kurt, thanks a lot for the call. Briefly, Monique, a lot of people you mentioned earlier don't have a lot of money. Just briefly, what's the economic impact of all those people retiring and not having the money to pay for it?
Well, what's happening is a lot of people are not retiring, and so there's a lot of long-term unemployment among older workers. But that's just the problem is, as you can figure out, a lot of people don't have that choice. They lose their jobs, they can't get another one, and it's basically poverty. It's hardship. I was talking to somebody recently who was describing this new phenomenon of older workers who go live for free in state parks to help out there, and they sort of volunteer or slash, you know, casual jobs. People living in Walmart parking lots, you know, I mean, so there's like a lot. I mean, there are people who are genuinely poor. There have always been that group of people, but there are also a lot of people who are, I don't think ever thought they were going to live this very marginal existence.
All right, we'll need to leave it there. Thanks to Monique Morrissey for joining us, economist at the Economic Policy Institute, talking about limited retirement savings in the United States.